In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we pick up our gospel reading this week from where we left off last week. If you remember, Peter had just identified Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus had praised Peter, saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And then Jesus goes on to tell Peter that he is a rock and that Jesus will use him to build his church. Now, just minutes later, as Jesus begins to give previews of what is ahead for him, Peter pulls Jesus aside and, with what I am sure he thinks will win him more praise from Jesus for looking out for his best interest, says, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." And in an instant, Peter goes from being a rock on which a church would be built to a stumbling block. It had to be a confusing day for Peter, to say the least, and for the other disciples who might have heard this exchange between the two. I'm sure they all had their minds set on human things. I'm sure they couldn't even imagine what divine things Jesus might be talking about. I have no doubt that when Peter said that Jesus was the Messiah, he and the rest of the disciples had in mind a warrior king like David, one who would drive out the Romans and liberate the Israelites. When you stop and think about it, it was a pretty understandable, even reasonable hope. The Romans were foreign occupiers who were not only imposing Roman law, but were taxing the people to support their occupation and enforcing all of this with violence. The problem with Peter's expectation is not that it's unreasonable, but it doesn't change anything. Rome was there in force and by violence. And Rome kept peace throughout the Roman Empire through violence. So if Jesus was the warrior king Peter hoped for and used greater force and violence to drive them out, then eventually someone with even more force, or who at least thinks they have more force, will come along and try and maybe succeed and take over yet again, keeping Israel at war, or at the very least, in constant threat of war. Who's in charge may change, but the use of force and violence is what would keep them there. Jesus knew this, and the divine things he wants them to get their heads around is a whole different way of imagining the world. One that runs by forgiveness, mercy and love, rather than revenge and violence and hate. Jesus was challenging the powers that be, and he knew that those powers would not tolerate his messing with their system, and that they would indeed kill him for trying. And it's all of this that Peter could not imagine. Peter could not imagine losing his friend and teacher, or losing all that he believed about who the Messiah was. Nor could he imagine the world and how it could be different from what he knew. His being stuck there was indeed a stumbling block for Jesus's mission, because Jesus was going to need everyone to be all in if this ministry was going to be successful in changing the world. We still live in a world where too often violence is met with violence, hate with hate, misunderstanding with more misunderstanding, where oppression happens not just in some faraway place in another century, but right here in our own country. where families in our own communities struggle to feed their children, where a lack of affordable housing keeps people on the streets, and jobs that pay a livable wage are not available for everyone. This is not the world Jesus was offering, imagining, inviting his disciples to join in creating. Can we imagine the world the way God sees it, wills it, dreams of it? Can we imagine life the way Jesus was asking his disciples, is asking his disciples to live it? Peter had to get, if not in that moment, certainly at some point, that Jesus wasn't messing around when he said, as Eugene Peterson put it in his translation, The Message, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? What could you even trade for your soul? Peter had to hear that to do what Jesus was asking, to change the world, to live differently, to be willing to stand up to power with love, to demand justice for all with peace, to give up something so others could have a share, is going to cost something. Can we imagine a different world? And are we willing to pay what it might cost to help bring it about? It isn't easy. It wasn't an easy message to hear then, and it still isn't. And many feel threatened by it. Way back in 1971, in his song, Imagine, John Lennon sang, imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. For many, this song was heard as being anti-religious, even though what John was saying was no denominations or ideologies that cause us to hate and kill each other. It was seen as anti-nationalistic, anti-conventional, anti-capitalistic, just to name a few. But if we really listen to the words, it's exactly what Jesus is asking of us. Not violence, peace. Not valuing things over people. Not some having more than enough while others have nothing. Everyone seeing and treating each other as family. Wanting for the stranger the same as you would want for yourself, your child, your sibling, or parent. These are radical words, ideas. They were for John Lennon, and they are for Jesus. It's no surprise that Peter reacted as he did, not surprising that he couldn't imagine what Jesus was trying to say and do. And it's no surprise that Jesus was killed. What is surprising is that God raised Jesus from the dead. It was his resurrection that reinforces, that proves that Jesus' life, love, and sacrifice are in the end what will prevail. It's hard to imagine, I know, in light of how prevalent force and violence, greed and self-protection seem in the world. But it just is what Jesus invites us to. A life shaped by love and forgiveness, and actions shaped by compassion and hope. Because that is what God imagines for us all. Amen.